just talk a little bit about what we looked at the last time we were together. And that would be that, first of all, we saw where Aaron and Miriam spoke up against Moses. They said, you know, God speaks to us too. And God heard it and he wasn't very happy. And so he called them into the tabernacle. The cloud came down and he confronted Aaron and Miriam. And he said, you know, I speak to prophets and I forget how he says it, dark words and visions and dreams. He said, but to Moses, I speak face to face and mouth to mouth. And then he said, you guys really shouldn't speak against my man. And so then Miriam got leprosy. And then, you know, Aaron got very upset. And then Moses went to God on the behalf of Miriam, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. Heal her now. I mean, he was pretty confident and he went to God with boldness. And that just again shows you what kind of man of God he was. He just had that confidence in his relationship with God. And then in the next section, we see where Israel comes to a place called Kadesh Barnea. And the people come to Moses and they say, and they're right on the border of the promised land, ready to go in. And the people say, well, before we go in, why don't we send spies in to see what's going on there? And so Moses asks God, and God says, yeah, go ahead. And so they pick one guy from each tribe, and they go in and they spy out the land, and the land is rich and lush, and they get a bunch of grapes. They pull it off the vine, but it's so heavy and big that they have to put it on a pole, and two guys have to carry it. That's how heavy it was. And they're there for 40 days searching out the land, and they come back and they say, well, it's beautiful, it's rich, but the people there are giants and they're mean, and their cities are walled up to heaven, and we'll never be able to conquer them, and they'll crush us, and we look like grasshoppers in their sight. It's a great mind picture there. They're giants and we are like grasshoppers. And so there's only two out of the 10 that disagree, and that would be Caleb and Joshua. And Caleb and Joshua, they say, no. God will fight the battle for us. We just go in. And the other people get so mad, they're ready to stone Joshua and Caleb and Moses and Aaron. And so then God, it just doesn't bless God at all. He says, okay, you're not going in for 40 years. For every day that you guys wandered in the promised land, for every day, you're going to spend a year in the wilderness until this generation from all the men and people that didn't believe from 20 years old up die off. So that's what happened. And then these guys turn around and say, oh, never mind, we'll go in and fight the Amalekites. And Moses says, no, it's too late. God's not with you. But they choose to disregard what he says again. And they go in and they get beat up. And so then they come back with their tails between their legs, and they have to wander for 40 years. So that brings us to chapter 15. I said 16, didn't I?
Yeah.
Well, 15, we're not going to really read 15 except for a couple of verses. But it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, so here again it says, you know, the Lord spake to Moses, which is one of the constants throughout this whole section. You know, probably no man has spoken to God as much in the Bible as Moses did. It was constant, except for Jesus Christ. So God has already told them they're not going to go in, that they're they're screwed. They're going to have to wait 40 years until all these unbelievers die off. And then the verses from 2 to verse 41 is really interesting because it is instructions to Israel on what they are to do once they go into the promised land. Now, this is amazing when you think about it. God says, you're not going in. And then the next thing he gives them information about when they do go in, what they are to do. Isn't that wild? Mm-hmm. And then the last verse of chapter 15, verse 41, it says, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. You notice that the phrase, I am the Lord your God, is in the beginning and the end of the verse. Mm-hmm. That's to emphasize what?
I am
the Lord your God. It's a figure of speech. Wow. So that brings us to chapter 16. Now, it seems like every time Moses turns around, he's got a problem to deal with. It's kind of like buying a car that's a lemon. Verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi. So that makes this guy a Levite, right? And Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the son of sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. So Korah is a Levite. And if you go and look at some of the genealogies, he was a cousin of Moses. I don't know how close, but he and these guys, 200, and they get 250 guys, and they're princes of Israel, which means they're important, they're leaders. And they're not happy with what Moses is doing. So, and it says they were famous in the congregation, men of renown. And the other place where this term is used is way back in Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, where it talks about there were giants on the earth, guys that were evil, and it says they were men of renown. So it just means they were named. That's what renown means. They were known. They were well known. But what were they known for? Not good stuff. Anyway, so then verse 3, it says, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? He said, you know, you're dealing with God's people, God's among them, and you guys are taking advantage and you're promoting yourselves. You put yourselves in charge. Now, that's not true, is it? God put them in charge. God called Moses out. God sent Moses back into Egypt to get him. They didn't even want to go. But, you know, by the hands of Moses and Aaron, they did the miracles and the plagues came and they led Israel out of Egypt. But these guys said, well, you know, you think you're hot shots and you take all this upon yourselves and you're promoting yourselves and you put yourself in this position. You know, you guys are self-promoters. And Moses heard it and he fell upon his face.
Yeah,
he just, you know, again and again and again. And he spake unto Korah and unto all the company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. So what's he going to do here? We have kind of a trial by fire, I guess. They're going to do something. Moses is going to tell them what to do, and then God's going to show. Remember back in, well, we haven't gotten there, but in Numbers where Elijah confronts the prophets of Baal and he says, okay, we're going to see who has the real God. Either it's the God of your God, Baal, or my God, the God of Jehovah of heaven. And he says, you build a altar and cut up an ox and put water on top of everything and the wood. And then we'll see if fire comes down from heaven and consumes your sacrifice, then your God will be the true God. And they do it for hours and hours and they jump and scream and yell and cut themselves and nothing happens. And then Elijah does what? He puts everything together. He pours water all over what's supposed to burn. And then he prays to God and fire comes down out of heaven and it incinerates everything, just totally wipes it out. So here we go. He says in verse 6, this do, take ye censers, Korah, and all his company. Censers are things that would hold incense, right? Which they would use in their worship. And put fire therein and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. You know, in the old days, hippie days, we used to burn incense. You know, it was so cool. Anyway, that's not what they did it for, but it was supposed to be a sweet smell to God, I guess. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. You take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself through the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he hath brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the son of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also? So what's he saying to Korah? He said, you know, you got a great job here. God called the tribe of Levi out, and you guys do service in the tabernacle, and you minister to the people, but you want to be a priest. You want more than what God's given you. Now, I read a, and I don't know if this is true or not, I read a note in one of my Bibles, an annotated Bible, and the guy said, you know, maybe Korah saw how the priests of Egypt were hotshots and they made money and they had power. Mm-hmm. And so he wanted to be a priest so he could be like that. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Mm-hmm. The devil definitely caused him to be jealous. And he thought, you know, he should be in charge, not Moses. That's really what I see about it. He said, you want to seek the priesthood also? You know, what's going on here? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? So here we have that murmuring again, right? That seems to be, they were one thing they were really good at was murmuring. They were really good complainers. They were good whiners. So that's what they did. They whined and they complained and they murmured against Aaron, but really they're murmuring against who? God. Verse 12, and Moses sent to Dathan and to Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. So, you know, he confronted this guy, Kohar, but these other guys stayed in their tents. And he calls them and they say, we're not coming up there. Mm-hmm. We don't have to listen to you. It is a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us. What an accusation. Mm-hmm. He says, you brought us up out of Egypt, a land of milk and honey. Mm-hmm. God had said he was bringing them to the land of milk and honey. And they say, well, no, you took us out of the land of milk and honey, Egypt, where they were slaves, where they worked so hard, where they cried unto the Lord for help. How unthankful. And he says, you brought us out here. You brought us out of this great place where we lived to kill us in the wilderness. And you make yourself a prince. Again, self-promotion. You know, you put yourself in charge. We didn't elect you. You put yourself in charge. Man, these guys had a lot of nerve. A lot of nerve. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into the land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. So what are you going to do? Put our eyes out? Mm-hmm. We're not coming up there. We're not coming up there. We don't care what you say. Verse 15. And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. He said, you know, I haven't taken advantage of them. I haven't hurt them. I've just, you know, he just did what God told him to do. Mm-hmm. And he goes to the guy, he says, you know, God, what is this? I didn't do anything to them. But that's human nature, isn't it? And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. Each one of you guys. And we'll see tomorrow who God chooses. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them. Obviously, it's the next day. And laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. So they came together, except for this Dathan and Abiram. They stayed away because they said, we're not coming up there. And and Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. So here we have it. The glory of the Lord appears. They're all gathered together. They're going to get Aaron and Moses, and the glory of the Lord appears. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. He's not just talking about these 250 guys. He's talking about everybody. He's had it. He's just get out of the way, Moses. Get out of the way, Aaron. I'm just going to wipe these guys out. Wow. In a moment. I don't know what the word is in Hebrew, but in Corinthians, it talks about Jesus Christ. When he comes, it'll be in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Mm-hmm. And the word moment is the word atom, which means the smallest possible amount. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? So what do Moses and Aaron do immediately? They make intercession. These guys are giving them a hard time, trying to rebel against them. And what does Moses and Aaron do? They make intercession for these people. That's really, that shows you the heart of a man of God. That shows you a man of God's heart. You know, just like I thought about this when I was thinking about Jesus Christ, the thing we did before this, we did, you know, the trials and tribulations of Jesus Christ and how he got accused. Every time he did something, he got accused. Every time they didn't like what he said, they threatened to kill him. And, you know, Moses went through the same thing. No matter what he did, they accused him. No matter what he did, he didn't do the right thing. You know, he's a self-promoter. He put himself in charge. He brought us out in the wilderness to die, you know, and so on and so on and so on. So they fall on their faces and they make intercession to God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. So he says, okay, you get away from these guys that are causing the trouble. Get away from them. tells the whole congregation. So get you away from about the tabernacle of, means the tents or the dwellings of Korah, of Dathan and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, because they wouldn't come to the tabernacle, right? And the elders of Israel followed him. They followed Moses. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So he's given fair warning, isn't he? Yeah. He says, don't stand with these guys, because if you do, you'll be consumed with them. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, the tent, or the dwelling of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents with their wives and their sons and their little children.
Wow.
That's pretty heavy. and Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. Remember Jesus Christ saying, I didn't come of my own accord. I came because God sent me. I'm doing what God told me to. That's what Moses is telling these guys. And of course, Jesus Christ knew the scriptures and he read these over and over. It probably plastered in his heart when he had to deal with these naysayers and guys that went against him. So Moses lets them know that he did not appoint himself or direct anything on his own. It's just like Jesus Christ, you know. He got questioned, his authority, who he was, what he was doing, same thing. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. He's saying if these guys live a normal life and die of old age, then God has not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open up her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, and the word pit is the word hell, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And the word hell is the Greek word, or the Hebrew word sheol. It means the grave, right? Mm-hmm. It means the grave. That's what it means. So he says, then they'll go down quick into the pit. Then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. The earth just opened up.
And it came to pass that he had...
Who?
It's like Bible.
Me.
Her phone reading the Bible.
Oh.
I hit the button.
Thanks.
Sorry.
And the earth opened up her mouth. That's a cool figure of speech, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, their tents, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. And they and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Now you said earthquake, but you know, earthquakes don't open up and then close up.
Yeah.
You know, the earth opened up, swallowed these people up, and then closed up on top of them. That's pretty crazy when you think about it. That's not just something else. Amazing. Moses said what would happen, and it did. Now, I want you to hold your place there and go to Deuteronomy 13. Because in Deuteronomy, God, by way of Moses, by revelation, explains what a prophet is. And a prophet would be a man of God, right? Mm-hmm. Chapter 13, verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandment and obey his voice, and they shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. So, you know, a true prophet, when he speaks, it's going to come to pass, but it will always be to the glory of God. Mm-hmm. It's always going to promote the true God. So let's go back to Numbers. And we were in verse 33 and verse 34. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. Man, that shook them up. Man, that was crazy. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. So that, you know, God's, remember Moses, he said, you bring the censers and put fire in them, and then we'll see who the Lord chooses. So he showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning and scatter them, thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. And the censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before the Lord. Therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. So they took these censers and they beat them, and they made broad plates out of them, and they used it to cover, and they were made out of brass, and they covered the altar with them. And that was to remind the people of, you know, what happened. And how they were to obey God. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers, wherewith they that were burnt had offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. So this was really a warning, wasn't it? you know, a memorial is a remembrance. So I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 10 real quick. Hold your place in Numbers. Chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. He's writing to these Christian believers in Corinth, saying, I don't want you to be stupid. How that all our fathers, speaking of the patriarchs of Israel, were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, speaking of the Red Sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat that same spiritual meat, the manna. And they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters as were some of them. As written, as it is written, the pupil sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. You know, when they made the golden calf that time. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in the one day 3,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon the ends of the world, on whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So that's what God said to the Corinthians. He gave us all these things for examples, you know, not to get too high on your horse, not to be a complainer and a murmurer and to get tricked away from the true God and all that stuff. So back to Numbers. And we're up to verse, I think, 40? 41? Yeah. But on the morrow, so all this stuff happened, you know. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against. So now they're murmuring again.
Yeah.
What the heck is going on here? But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. Moses and Aaron didn't kill them. They disobeyed, and God pronounced judgment. And Moses told them, said, get away from those guys, and you won't die. And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation. Behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared.
Uh-oh.
And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, the guy he always spoke to. What did they think were going on every time the cloud came down and God spoke?
Right,
who was
right.
He wasn't speaking to them.
I think they'd be scared.
You would think, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. Man, a second time in 2 days or 3 days. You know, God says, I'm going to just wipe these people out in a moment. And Moses and Aaron fall on their faces and make intercession. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly into the congregation and make atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. Mm-hmm. So in this case, God immediately sent a plague. Wow, that was quick. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. Behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Wow. He stood in the gap. He stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stopped. Man, what a great heart Moses and Aaron had. Because, you know, every time they turn around, these people complained about him and accused them and argued with them and disobeyed them. No matter how much they took care of these people and how much they blessed them. And they continued. And then when God says, I've had enough, then Moses and Aaron turn around and say, please, God, don't kill them. How incredible. The great men of God, they stood for the people. So Aaron stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700 beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. What an amazing record. Mm-hmm. They stood physically between the dead and the living. Again, Moses as the man of God and Aaron as a man of God make intercession for the people. Their heart was to save the people, to help them. And they weren't getting a lot of thanks. Let's go to chapter 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and take every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes, according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod. So Moses, God tells Moses to give a stick, a rod, to the leader of each tribe, and they are to write their name on that rod. And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi, for one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony where I will meet with you. The testimony means before the Ark of the Covenant. Okay? If you hold your place here and go to Exodus 25, it uses that same terminology. Verse 15, it says, the staves shall be in the rings of the ark, they shall not be taken from it, and it shall be put into the ark of the testimony, which I shall give thee. Now, the ark is called the ark of the testimony because within the ark are the tablets, which is the proof of the covenant that God made with Israel. So it's a testimony, it's a witness. So back to Numbers. So the testimony, the witness, is the tablets. And so now they are to bring these rods before the testimony. Verse 5, and it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom. And I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece, for each prince one, according to their father's houses, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness, in, you know, before the Ark of the Covenant. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, or the tabernacle of testimony, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded and brought forth buds and blossomed blossoms and yielded almonds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, that must have been really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. He calls them rebels. The rod was taken as proof to shut up the rebels, those who murmured against Moses and Aaron. Okay. Now, I want you to hold your place here and go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20. Because in Numbers, it's a narrative. In Ezekiel, God kind of explains this whole thing. And we start in verse 1. And it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, in the 10th day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. This is the seventh year of the Babylonian captivity, okay? And these elders of Israel have come to Ezekiel, right? Gregor all taught last night, and he was talked about the false prophets that were telling the kings and the leaders of Israel or of Judah that the Babylonians wouldn't conquer them. And of course they were lying. Well, these same false prophets later on and during the captivity were saying, oh, this isn't going to last. We're going to go back home really quick. So these guys come to Ezekiel to ask of him, what's going on? Then came the word of the Lord unto me, unto Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Are ye come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired by you. You come to ask of me, and I don't want to hear your questions. I don't want to hear you. Wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers? And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, In the day when I chose Israel, and lifted up mine hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up mine hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God. Bullinger says the lifting up the hand means that God made an oath to them, or he said, I swear to you. In the day that I lifted up mine hand unto them, verse 6, to bring them forth in the land of Egypt into the land that I espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. This is a cool verse. He said, I lifted up my hand. I gave you my promise. I swore to you to bring you out of Egypt, and I espied the land. God had already spied the land out. He had told them that he was bringing them to a land of milk and honey. And what did they do? When they got there, they said, oh, we need to send spies in, which really means what? They doubted what God said. And it says here, a land flowing with milk and honey. They called the land of Egypt the land of milk and honey. And then it says, which is the glory of all lands. And the word glory there is the word gazelle, which means it represents beauty. It's a beautiful land. You know, a gazelle is a beautiful animal, very graceful. Then said I unto them, Cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my name's sake that I should not be polluted before the heathen among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. What does that mean? God said, you know, I don't want to embarrass myself with you guys, so I'll just wait. My anger is stayed. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness, and I gave them my statutes, and I showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, and that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them, that separates them from the other nations. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. Again, that's that word rebelled. The word rebelled actually means bitter and perverse. They became bitter and perverse against God. That's what they rebelled. But he defines it here. He tells them. He says, but the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. And of course, what happened? You know, Moses and Aaron made intercession. But what does it mean to rebel? Well, it says they walk not in my statutes, and they despise my judgments, and they greatly polluted the Sabbath. That's what they did. That was their rebellions. But I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted before the heathen in whose sight I brought them out. Yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness. I swore to them again that I would not bring them up into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, the most beautiful of all lands, because they despised my judgments and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went with their idols. And that's the, you know, their hearts went with the idols. They ignored all that God did, his promises, how much he blessed them, and their heart went with their idols. Nevertheless, mine eye spared them from destroying them, neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. But I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Remember, we saw that in that chapter, the end of the chapter 15. Mm-hmm. I am the Lord your God. And it went on, I am the Lord your God. Here he says, I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. What a cool thing. What a great God, huh? He really went out of his way. He tried so hard, and they were just a rebellious, dopey bunch of people. And in verse 21, notwithstanding the children rebelled against me, they walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew mine hand and wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen in whose sight I brought them forth. You know, and he never did it. In 1 Samuel 15, it says, rebellion is as witchcraft. You know? It's an evil and devilish thing when you rebel against God. So let's go back to number 17. Where did we leave off? 10, I think. It said, and the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again for a testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. You know, they were rebels. They just were continually rebellious. And Moses did so as the Lord commanded him, so did he. And the children of Israel spake unto Moses, saying, behold, we die, we perish, we all perish. Whosoever cometh anything near unto the tabernacle of the Lord shall die. Shall we be consumed with dying? Chapter 18, we're just going to go a little bit into chapter 18, just because it's a continuation of the thought. And the Lord said unto Aaron, thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary. And thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. And thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of the father, thy father, bring thou with me, that they may be joined unto thee and minister unto thee. But thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness. And they shall keep thy charge and the charge of all the tabernacle. Only they shall not come nigh unto the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar, that neither they nor ye also die. And goes on from there. So what a wild time Moses and Aaron had. They just did their best for those people, and those people didn't appreciate it. And every time they turned around, they were criticizing them and attacking them and accusing them. And Moses and Aaron, they just hung in there, and they made intercession to God and just did their best, even though the people were unbelieving and rebellious. So that's where we're going to stop tonight. Hallelujah. But we got an appreciation of the heart of those men and serving God in a great way. So God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for loving us and blessing us and keeping us safe. And we just thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.